Sunday after Easter is always an interesting day for me. I'm always left thinking, what comes next? We've just experienced, at least many of us have, a long 40-day period of preparation leading up to the intensity and the excitement and emotion of Holy Week, when as best we could, we walked through Jesus through that final horrific week of his life. When we were in this sacred place last Sunday, it was for an occasion of pure joy and excitement, celebrating the resurrection and all of the power that has for us and for the church. But Lent and Holy Week and Easter are a paradox. They feel kind of like a very long roller coaster ride for me, of joy and fear, of happiness and sadness, of looking in and of reaching out, of discipline and of feasting, of darkness and ultimately of light. And as we step off of that roller coaster ride this week, perhaps we take a deep breath and look around and say to ourselves, as the disciples and the followers of Jesus must have done, what now? Today we gather to celebrate the Supper of the Lord for the second time in just 10 days, for those of us who were present on Maundy Thursday, and we ponder what the next step might be as we go forward with the light of the resurrection. Where do we go from here? How do we choose to live this side of the resurrection? Much of life is about making choices. Looking back, we can see that Jesus had to make choices, even in that week before his death. He struggled with what it would mean for him to follow through with the plan and to do his Father's will. Even for him, the way was not clear a lot of the time. I'm still reflecting on the hauntingly beautiful words of the choir anthem from Friday night, from our Good Friday Tenebrae service. They speak to Jesus' struggle so clearly. The choir sang these words, "How long, O Lord, will you neglect my prayer? Will you forget these tears of dark despair? Though I cry out in sorrow, pain, and fear, you turn your back, and in silence you disappear." And then finally, the words of the anthem brought us to this announcement. "As Son and Silent Lamb, I choose this path." Yes, we all, even Jesus, had to make choices. He struggled mightily with the path ahead, but as hard as it was, he chose the way that led to life and to light for the world and for us as his followers. As I contemplated our coming together today to the Lord's table, looking back on these last few weeks, and also looking forward and asking myself, what comes next? What now? I was drawn to these words of Paul in Philippians 4, because Paul too had choices. He's in prison. He's in horrible circumstances, in extraordinarily difficult situations, and he doesn't know what the future holds for him or for the struggling young church at Philippi. He could have been angry, he could have been despondent. No one would have faulted him for giving up. He might have wanted to ask, as Christ did, that this cup pass from him. But he made a choice, and he made a choice to focus not on his problems, but on all that was good and right, on what was possible rather than what was not possible, on building up his fellow followers of Christ. Paul, like Jesus, had to make a choice to look forward, not to look back, to claim the promise of the risen Christ revealed to him on that road to Damascus. He had to choose not to give up when dire circumstances might have led him to do that. And so he urged his friends to focus on what is pleasing, what is pure, what is honorable, what is excellent, what is worthy of praise. Don't focus on the negatives, focus on those things. And he urges the Philippian believers to keep on doing the things you've learned and seen and received and heard in me, with the promise that the God of peace will be with you. And that, to me, is where we as followers of Christ find ourselves today. The intense devotion that got us through Lent, and I personally gave up not only sweets, but Diet Coke, so it was a long 40 days, but the devotion that got me through that, and I have to say I made it, The excitement of that last Sunday's resurrection celebrations, those things can fade very quickly. We find ourselves suddenly back in the mundane issues, in the difficult circumstances of life that often surround us. For the Kremer household, I can tell you that that has been the case this week. So like Jesus and like Paul, we have choices to make. And these choices have profound effects on our lives. How will we respond to events that happen to us and around us? For you see, we can't control a lot that happens to us. But how we respond, we can control. How will we react when problems arise? Will we give up and give in to despair, to frustration, to disappointment? Or will we keep trying no matter what? Reaching for the true, the pure, the honorable, the just, the excellent, as Paul did even in prison? Will we stick with it even when the way is daunting, as Jesus did? Or will we choose what we think will be an easier way? An image from the northwest corner of Georgia, somewhere along a back road between Rome and Calhoun, not sure where, has stayed with me ever since the first time I saw it, not long after we moved to Rome. There's a turnoff that's marked by two signs right next to each other and pointing in the same direction. Dry Gulch Baptist Church, says one sign, and right beside it, pointing the same direction, is a sign that says Snow Springs Baptist Church. Now, those signs make me smile even when I think about them now. Every time I'd pass that turnoff, I'd just kind of smile and think, okay, do I want to be a Snow Springs Baptist or do I want to be a Dry Gulch Baptist? I'm sure there is a story, but we have our choice. And so the signs tell me that those are the choices we have to make now. In this time past Easter, are our lives going to be dry gulches of despair and sadness and giving in to difficulties? Or will they be snow springs embodying and passing on the living water of Christ as we move throughout our world? Snow springs, dry gulch. Dry gulch, snow springs. We have choices. But hear me carefully. Paul doesn't promise us that life will be easy or even that it will be easier if we do as he says and focus on the true, the excellent, the just, the pleasing, and the pure. There's nothing magic in those instructions. He warns that we have to persevere. We have to keep on keeping on. We have to keep trying. We have to keep doing the things that he's patterned for us. But if we do, Paul says, the God of peace will be with us. This is the same promise Jesus gave us in John 14. He said, I'm going to be going away. I'm going to leave you, but I won't leave you by yourself. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And if the God of peace is with us, we can respond to any circumstance from light rather than darkness, with anticipation rather than fear, in joy rather than overwhelmed by sorrow, pushing forward instead of giving up. We can be Snow Springs Baptist. We don't have to be Dry Gulch Baptist. So on this Sunday after Easter, we gather again at the table of the Lord, as Jesus modeled for us with his disciples. And following Paul's exhortation, we are continuing what we have learned and received and heard and seen as we gather at this table. All who are followers of Christ are invited to participate with us, because it's God's table of grace. It's not Vineville Baptist Church's table. It is not my table. It is not Jeff's. Accept the invitation to participate.